There's got to be more than this.
We have the power to shift the atmosphere over this entire region.
Where there was no song before, now there's a song rising.
We were put on this earth to make right what was wrong.
We have a calling that we will change the atmosphere.
We have to be in His presence constantly.
Being in the presence of God changes everything.
Our job as worship leaders is to restore a position of God on the earth.
Welcome. This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast. We're the sound of an entire region going after God, and we are your hosts. My name is Clint.
And I'm Haley.
And I'm Josh.
Welcome, everyone. Tons of stuff happening.
Oh, my goodness.
We are a veritable hub of activity.
Oh, yeah. Boy. That is the truth.
The truth.
T-R-U-F.
Tons of stuff coming up at the end of the month. We've been teasing these different events. Next week's show, Artist Collective Spotlight. Big announcement there. Then Studio. Big announcement there.
And then Generations.
Generations. Big announcement there.
You're full of big announcements.
Let's just talk about what we've been doing over the past week. I'm physically exhausted. I don't know about you, but...
Yeah, like most people hire people to do...
The grunt work.
The grunt work.
You guys are go-getters.
And the stature that we possess...
Oh, my
there
gosh.
There was plenty of grunting going on this
There was a lot of, like, groaning and creaking and other painful sounds later.
I felt like... Literally, I woke up yesterday morning and I felt like I was going to die.
So what we're referring to is the construction on the new studio.
Yeah.
For Next Gen Worship Collective.
Yeah, we got to give a shout out to Daniel Russell, contractor extraordinaire.
He's amazing.
He's a really amazing guy.
And the Roeslers stopped by and helped us out.
Yeah, yeah.
And Anthony Truder.
Anthony Truder, all the way from South Africa, just to do a little construction work.
Aww.
But we are, we're constructing this space for the sake of capturing and stewarding a sound that's happening in our region. You know, if you're new with us on the show, we're about 2 years deep into creating community. About a year deep into seeing monthly worship gatherings of 30 churches, 50 plus worship leaders that are just hungry for the presence of God. And that's knocking down walls. It's knocking down barriers. It's forming connections between hearts. We're not trying to do anything crazy here. We're just following Jesus, chopping little things in, saying, hey, go do this, steward it this way. And so anyway, the studio space is going to be really awesome. We're going to make it a part of the collective where we're intentionally helping people realize their dreams through the power of worship and stewarding the presence of God in worship and songwriting. But we're opening this thing up worldwide, really.
Yeah, God is putting our dreams to fulfill certain things, and there's just got to be some logistics there to facilitate that.
Yeah.
And a studio happens to be one of those things. It's just a tool to fulfill what God's put in our hearts to do.
So. Yeah. And one of the other things that's going on that we just mentioned is Generations, which we talked about in last week's show. That is a multi-city worship encounter. We've tried to define this so many times because it's so new and fresh in our hearts. Basically, we want to take everything that's happening in our region and intentionally go drop it in different places around the Midwest. It's a multi-artist worship night, multi-city, focused on unity, healing, and releasing people into powerful destinies. It's centered around one of our core values, which is if what we're building cannot be like a platform for the next generation to springboard off of, what are we doing?
Right.
You know, if we're building our own little kingdom and it's just going to go away when we're done, I question whether we're building kingdom stuff or not. So
absolutely. We're seeing this with many different little pockets here and there that are developing community and they're unifying and they're coming together and they're experiencing what we're experiencing here in our region as well. But there's a vast majority of areas throughout the country and across the globe that have not really woke up to the fact that, you know, the body of Christ is coming together, you know?
Yeah.
That's true, yeah.
And we're spending some time next week with some of these leaders of these different pockets in the United States that have a like heart like us. And we're talking about some of this stuff. And we're going to hang out with one of our spiritual dads, Mark Kendrickson, who's on the forefront of all this. Like, you know, he is just dropping good stuff in our hearts and confirming what the Lord's saying to us. And he's recently said that he believes the Lord's going to raise up a new heart and a new message that's really revolving around the unity that we're seeing in our region. We've even had others like Ray Hughes mention Joplin by name and say, hey, what's happening there, I believe, is going to be a template or a picture of what he wants to do in other places. So really exciting stuff.
What I love about our community is it seems like everyone is just taking ownership of the movement that's happening here. You know, everyone's just kind of like jumping on board and saying, this is ours. You know,
it's amazing. It feels so good.
Yeah, it does. A big announcement next week. It's the Next Gen Worship Artist Spotlight. You don't want to miss this one.
Yeah.
On today's show, we're talking about joy. We're going to have that topic of discussion here in just a little bit. Later on in the show, we'll be interviewing Steve Backlund.
Steve Backlund's amazing. Don't want to miss it.
I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. Like a city on the hilltop that cannot be hidden. I am full of goodness. I am a citizen of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives.
Next Gen Worship is starting a social experiment, and we want you to be a part of it. It's called Hashtag Identity. Tell us who you are in Christ on your social media profile, and then include the hashtag identity. And you could win some free swag from Next Gen Worship.
And now a moment from the NGWB.
We have to be okay with setting our egos aside. Uh-oh, I said ego. I don't die to myself to sin less. I die to myself to love more. Our ego is nailed to the cross. If I take my ego out of it, I literally become a dead man walking.
Lego, my ego.
Dead men don't get offended. Dead men don't get offended. Ain't nothing to it but to do it, baby.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Welcome back to the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Next week, doing a big announcement. It's the Next Gen Worship Artist Spotlight.
Big announcement that's been months in the making.
This week, we're talking about joy and how we can shift culture through laughing at it.
Yeah.
Well, that's a reference to our guest, Steve Backlund. And if you're familiar with him, he's on staff at Bethel Church in Redding, California. And he likes to come up with these untruths or lies that the enemy likes to speak to us.
Right.
And what his way of defeating those things is saying, hey, let's laugh at it. Anyway, we'll hear about more about that when he comes on. But
we'll be interviewing him in a little bit here.
So shifting culture through joy. And, you know, I think joy and hope are so closely related. Mm-hmm. That they're inseparable. So a lot of the stuff that I think we will mention today are interchangeable between joy and hope. And one of the things that I use as a rule in my life is a quote by Bill Johnson. Any area of our life that isn't glistening with hope is under the influence of a lie. So check your hope level.
Check your hope level.
Wow.
Check your hope level.
That's awesome.
Which went back to that Run DMC moment.
Yeah,
check your hope level.
What's my hope level?
Two?
I don't know.
So that means if you can make people laugh, you're instilling hope.
So comedians are like called of God.
Yeah.
Love it.
Hope, laughter, and joy. Even science has come out and said that laughter is a healthy thing in our life, you know. So it's supporting these things that we know scripturally, like a merry heart does good like a medicine. Mm-hmm. So you're talking about spiritual concepts that actually do our bodies good. But not only that, I mean, going back to hope, I'm just thinking about when we talked to Luke Hendrickson last week or the week before. And I asked him, why is the Bethel church culture so powerful? He says, everything is coming from a place of hope.
Yeah, that's right.
And hope is something that we're starving for hope a lot of times in our churches.
Well, you listen to the voice of the church, the popular voice. It's all doom and gloom. Here comes the end. Uh-huh. Fire and brimstone.
All of that is based on a picture of the Father that is skewed and inaccurate.
Let's talk about that.
So when you have a real accurate view of the Father God, you can't go around and only speak doom and gloom. Mm-hmm. That's kind of illogical, right? Is illogical a word?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It reminds me of Debbie Downer.
That's awesome.
Well, and it's important to remember, I mean, in America, the church, we're Americans. America rules the world. America is the center of the universe most people.
Come on,
America. And we kind of forget that Jesus actually is an American.
I'm an American, not American.
So we tend to get a little absorbed in all of the things that are happening here and make them a little bigger than maybe they are.
Yeah.
Well, I think when we understand truth and we understand our Father's heart and we understand his intentions, I think the fruit of that is joy, it's hope, and it's all of those fruits of the Spirit that we're supposed to be so alive with. Well, we talked about this last night with Daniel and Lisa Russell, the orphan spirit, where you're constantly trying to please him through actions or works, because even though you say God loves me, inside you don't really believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Inside you still feel judged, you still feel condemned, you still feel hopeless. And where there's no hope, there's no joy. But when we begin to understand, like, this is foundational, right? Jesus paid the price. I mean, he took all that condemnation away, all that judgment out of our life, so that whatever he thinks about Jesus, he thinks about me.
That's really important. And, you know, the scripture about the joy of the Lord is our strength, I've always interpreted that as if I can find my joy in the Lord, that will give me strength to overcome any situation. And I believe that's true. But I also think that it actually means the joy that the Lord finds in me is what gives me power.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I know that my Father finds great joy in just me being here, you know, my existence, should give me the strength and the hope to overcome absolutely anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is the joy of the Lord, not the joy of me, right?
Yeah, it doesn't say my joy in the Lord.
That's
it
good.
Says the joy of the Lord.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think if we dig a little deeper and understand our relationship to him, like a lot of people say, I'm a son or a daughter of God, but they still think like a slave. They still think on a servant level. And we are servants, and the Bible does make reference to us being slaves to Christ. But we are also sons and daughters, which means we are joint heirs, which means we are in full partnership with the King of the universe. You know, we all have kids sitting here, and we take joy in just the fact that they are our kids. Like, I enjoy my kids. And the Bible makes reference to that, talks about him rejoicing over us with singing. And that's not a typical picture that we have of the Lord. It's, you know, especially in America, it's very kind of like judgmental, and he's out for blood a little bit. J.D. King reference there from a show a few weeks ago. But he is rejoicing over us, and it's his full joy to partner with us in seeing evil eradicated from this world.
Come on.
Come on. We're servants, but it's more like I'm the daughter that's going to inherit the corporation. So I work for my father, you know?
So. Yeah. And so we're doing all we can in our region and the people that we are affecting to say there's cause for hope, because you're created for more than just a Sunday morning or, you know, whatever you're doing in your life. You are an active participant with the presence of God wherever you are. The Bible even talks about, you know, be ready to give a reason for the hope that you have within you. So I think this is crucial to the world's view of us. If we see the world start to discount us, we have to, again, check our joy level, our hope level, and say, I'm saying all these things out of my mouth, but inside, where's the reality?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it's important, I think, I was just saying about this, that, you know, we've talked about the power of our words and our voice, but a people who have joy and who are filled with the hope of glory. The reality is that there's some scary, crazy things happening in the world today, but it's our job to speak words of life and hope and joy over those situations. And it's not being in denial. It's not being in la-la candy land where we just don't acknowledge the things that are happening. It's understanding the power of our Father and using our voice and the things that we understand about him and things that we know about him to really initiate change. You know, I feel like I have a mandate to speak the opposite.
Steve Vaclin said that the future is in the mouths of intentional speakers.
Yeah.
So our words have real power, especially when they're coming out of a place of hope, out of a place of joy, out of a place of purpose. We are creating destinies and futures and worlds with the words we speak. And they're not just empty words. You know, we are indwelt by the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a creative supernatural power to see things released when we speak. And I think that's so important. And if our view or our insides are not coming from a place of hope, our words are still carrying power when they're negative, right?
Yeah.
We want to make sure that everything we do has to come out of this place of joy, has to come out of this place of hope, if we want the world to see a difference.
And not only our language has to be in the right direction, but it has to be accompanied with like voices.
Yeah.
You know? I think one of the greatest enemies of joy is isolation.
Absolutely.
You know, whenever the enemy can get us away from a collective group, from the body, you know, where we get nourishment and we share, we share in the joy. You know, that's why the Bible, I believe, tells us not to neglect the fellowship of right. each other, because mm-hmm. that's where love flows. You know, when you walk into, like, I go back to the conference because, you know, so many like hearts came together there, and there was so much love in the atmosphere
yeah.
that the joy level was like through the roof.
It was intoxicating.
It was.
Yeah, amazing.
And what it did is it not only gave us hope for the future, it inspired us to dream for the future and begin to take steps in that direction in fulfilling those dreams. So joy, like, birth stuff, joy yeah. is like fertile. Mm. You know, it not only gives us the strength to carry on, but it gives us the ability to be inspired and dream and take steps in the right direction.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. One other thing I like to think about is the fact that religion celebrates perfection, but God celebrates progress. And that conference was a big progress marker, because we're breathing on the things in people's hearts that they have dismissed because they haven't had permission to pursue them. So,
right. yeah.
You know, that's why our conferences are such a big deal, is because they're so hope-filled and so love-filled. And the agenda is His heart. So, you know, we're working hard to find out what's the most important thing to Him and displaying that in front of everyone. I really look forward to that again this year. I'm dreaming about this conference this year, and it'll be in the late fall again. We'll be making some more announcements.
So many things in between there. We've got the generations coming up in the first part of the summer and getting ready for that with this brand new project in our new studio with a new artist that we're going to be announcing next week. And coming up later in this show, we're talking about shifting culture through joy, and we'll be interviewing Steve Backlund here in a minute.
I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart.
Admitted.
And now for something completely different.
Yeah.
Mm.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah.
Come on.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because it's right.
Yeah.
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 Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So powerful.
Amen.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's good. Totally. Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Great stuff.
Yeah.
Amen.
Awesome.
Yeah. It is awesome.
This is the Next Gen Worship Broadcast.
Next week, we've got a big announcement for you. We're getting ready with the Next Gen Worship Artist Collective, and we've got our first debut artist to announce, and we're going to be sitting down with them and talking a little bit about their dreams for the future and what we've got on the horizon. So really looking forward to that show. Today, we're talking about shifting culture through joy, and we're interviewing Steve Backlund.
All right, Steve, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I wondered if you would just give us kind of a quick introductory, who you are, what Igniting Hope Ministries is, what you're doing in the world.
Hey, it's so good to be with you, Clint. And I got saved at age 19. I was a hippie on the north coast of California, married my hippie girlfriend, Wendy, and a couple years later. And then we served at a church for 13 years there on the coast of California, and then moved to the desert and pastored a church for 10 years starting in 1991. And that's when we really got confronted with our lack of joy and hope in our ministry. And that was just a transformational time. And it led to what we're doing now. We're on staff at Bethel Church, Reading, and we have our own ministry called Igniting Hope Ministries. And so that ministry, we feel a mandate from God to ignite hope wherever we go. And I believe this, that hope and joy are the fruit of having good beliefs. They're the evidence that the renewing of the mind is working.
Wow. That's really good. So why don't we just jump right into our topic, shifting culture through joy. So when I say those words, what's rolling around in your heart? What's stirring in there?
Well, I believe it's the priority of joy. And I was a joy impaired, laughter impaired Christian until the 90s when the Lord just really brought a breakthrough to me. During that time, there's a phenomenon that happened that a lot of people experience, a phenomenon called holy laughter, in meetings, people would just start laughing and they tried to stop and they couldn't. Sometimes preachers would try to preach and all they would do is laugh and they couldn't preach. And I would watch that and I was troubled. I said, that can't be God. I said, so I'm going to search the Bible and see if joy is actually in there. Uh-huh. You know what I found, Clint? I found it's all over.
Oh, yeah.
It's all over. Nehemiah 8:10, it's our strength. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart is good like medicine. Psalm 16:11, in his presence is fullness of joy. And we may not be outrageously joyful every time we're in his presence, but if we're never outrageously joyful in his presence, we may not be as much in his presence as we thought we were.
Very good.
Jesus in Hebrews 1:9 was anointed with the oil of gladness above all his companions. He was the gladdest being on the planet.
Wow.
Luke 2:10, the announcement by the angel to the shepherds about Jesus was an announcement of joy.
Mm-hmm.
It says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. And so those impacted me, but really one of the verses that mostly impacted me was Romans 14:17, where it says, the kingdom of God is not about meat and drink, but about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And I began to see that joy was one-third of the kingdom. So when we talk about culture, you know, influencing our culture through joy, first of all, we have to value it. And if it's one-third of the kingdom, it needs to be valued, but pretty much the first 15 years of my Christian life, I could probably count on one hand how many messages I heard on joy. And, you know, so I said, how come? One third of the kingdom, but nobody's talking about it. Well, my theory on why there seemed to be few messages on it was that under a religious mindset, it's impossible to be joyful. Because if you are joyful, it means you're not getting it. Because if you really got it, if you really got it, you'd understand God has just about had enough of you. I mean, he's so frustrated and he's so disappointed with you, he's about ready to implode. And you prayed 1 hour, you should have prayed two.
Yeah.
You fasted for 3 days, but you ate a marshmallow on day two, and now God is angry with you. And so that was how I thought.
Yeah.
You know, and again, under performance-based Christianity, works-based, you can only celebrate and become joyful when there's perfection. Mm-hmm. And there's not much perfection. I mean, so there's not much joy.
Yeah.
And so I realized that families celebrate progress and become joyful with progress. And that was a key thing for my life to actually, especially my leadership, to change from, you know, performance-based into more family-based and really realize that whether it's as an individual or as a group of people, we didn't need joy at the end of the battle. We needed joy in the middle of the battle because it was our strength.
Mm, yeah.
It was our health. Just beginning to prioritize it and say, I'm going after it. That was a huge thing for me. I said, I'm going to go after it in my personal life and in my corporate setting. And Clint, it was really transformational for us.
Wow. Well, that's amazing. You dropped some bombs there. I'm going to have to chew on. But I think this ties nicely into your negativity fast and positivity feast that you guys are doing. I love the idea. I would love for you to explain this and talk all about it.
To be an influencer, you can't be pessimistic. You know, pessimism and Christian leadership cannot go together. God partners with people who are unreasonably optimistic.
Wow. Wow, wow.
David was unreasonably optimistic when he went after Goliath. The experts would have said, hey, David, we think it's unwise for you to do that. Moses, the experts are saying you raising your rod at the sea, that's not going to do anything. And so we have a real heart because, you know, even in talking about joy, joy and hope are really linked. In Romans 15:13, it says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing." So the moment we believe truth is the moment we get filled by the God of hope. And as hope comes, our perspective on things gets upgraded, and joy comes as well. So, because the kingdom of God is not moved forward by good conduct, it's moved forward by good beliefs.
Wow.
I want to say that again. The kingdom of God is not moved forward by good conduct. It's moved forward by good beliefs. The question of the hour is not, Lord, tell me, what should I do, Lord? The question is, Lord, what should I believe? What should I renew my mind with about you, about myself, about the people in my life, and about my circumstances? And so this negativity fast and positivity feast, and we started on February 10th, you can find information on it on our website, ignitinghope.com. And what it is, it's using our book, Igniting Faith in 40 Days. It's a 40-day journey of fasting negativity, feasting positivity. And it's like a mini school to equip us to actually believe truth at a higher level. Jesus said in John 8:32, the truth will make you free. So every area of my life where I believe truth and I get free, every area of my life where I believe lies, I'm not free.
Yeah.
I get saved because I believe in Jesus. I'll have freedom because I believe like Jesus. And this fast is an opportunity for us to grow in believing like Jesus. All of our material, we've written many books, many audio messages, all of it is really centered in on helping us believe truth instead of lies.
Wow.
So this is a big part of what we do in the negativity fast.
That's awesome. So what is in your heart for down the road? What are you dreaming about and what is captivating your heart right now as far as building for the future or seeing things happen in the church or in the world?
That's just a great question. And I mean, one of them is wrapped up a little bit in what I just said is, Wendy and I do believe that we are to ignite hope wherever we go. There's no hopeless circumstances. There's only hopeless people. Once people get true hope, the circumstance can't stay the same. And hope is an unstoppable force. And so our vision is that with leaders, influencers, every person we come in contact with, our dream is that each one of them would believe truth at a higher level, would have hope at a higher level. Our hope level determines our influence level. And so that's our dream, is to help create that reality for people, because God believes in people more than they believe in themselves.
Yeah.
Part of that is a fun little thing on the side, that one of my dreams is, I have a dream to have a belief training sessions, and we're experimenting with it right now. We're doing it a little bit with our fast. You know, obviously being physically fit is a great thing, and you know, working out daily is a good goal for all of us. But my dream is to help people work out their beliefs daily. Mm. You know, nobody wants flabby beliefs. and so I have a dream to create structures where people every day can wake up, work their beliefs out for 5 to 15 minutes through various methods of declarations, laughing at lies, you know, waiting on God, you know, using our imaginations, and just different things to tone our beliefs so that our experience in the future will experience more of God's promises in our lives.
I love that. I don't think I can let you go today, Steve, without asking you a couple things that we should be laughing about.
and just in case nobody's ever heard this, one of the books I wrote is called Let's Just Laugh at That.
Right.
And it talks about Psalm 2:4, where it says, "He who sits in the heavens laughs." And I got an idea. You know, I asked, well, first of all, what's God laughing at? And the context is he's laughing at what his enemies are saying and planning.
Uh-huh.
And I got an idea I said, if God's laughing at what his enemies are saying, and the devil's my enemy, and he's the father of all lies, then I'm going to do an experiment, and I'm going to laugh. I'm going to, the lies I'm thinking in my head, I'm going to say out of my mouth, and then I'm going to laugh and see what happens. And I found out that laughing at lies is a good way of letting go of bad beliefs.
Wow.
Because to laugh, we have to let go of something. Mm. So, Clint, look, can I just give you a couple good lies?
I'm ready.
That we can let. Yes. Yeah, you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Let's laugh at this lie. God is not going to supply our needs in the future.
Yeah.
Here's another one. Our prayers for our country are not working at all.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You want one more?
Well, let's do one more.
One more. This is one that I camped in for quite a while. Here's a lie. There is something uniquely wrong with you.
Wow. That was a good one.
That is a good one.
Before we go, one more time, why don't you give us your website and any social media points of contact for people, and maybe your latest book, just mention that, and just ways people can connect and get more information about what you're doing.
Website is ignitinghope.com, Stephen Wendy Backlund. Wendy has got her own website called wendybackland.com. It's L-U-N-D. And social media, just look for Igniting Hope Ministries on Facebook. That's our key contact. And then I have a Twitter, Steve Backlund. We finished a book called Let's Just Laugh at That for Kids, which is a powerful book to help us with 20 lies children are tempted to believe, helping our children's beliefs go to a higher level. I wrote a book called Help, I'm a Pastor for Leaders. That's pretty recent. And the book I'm working on right now, which should be out in the spring or summer of this year, is called The Culture of Empowerment, How to Champion People. Ooh. So that's some of the latest things that we're doing.
Well, Steve, it's truly an honor and truly a pleasure to speak with you, and I really appreciate you taking time with us today.
You're welcome, Clint, and bless you and what you're doing in your ministry.
Man, it's been great to have Steve Backlund on the program with us. Some applicable stuff that you can apply to your life. Laugh at those lies and infuse hope in your life with joy. Next week, the big announcement, we've got our debut artist for the Next Gen Worship Collective. You don't want to miss that show coming up same time, same place. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship broadcast. To join us in our journey and find out more information about how you can get involved, please visit nextgenworship.com. Nextgenworship.com. Please tune in next week at the same time as we discuss what's on the Father's heart for our generation.